Little ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. The message of today is entitled Walking with God Through Dark Times. Through dark times. Every message I try to measure with the standard that we have in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17 and verse 13. He that justifies the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Pretty tough message, isn't it, to bring forth every Sunday? I'm getting an echo in here. It's echoing. There we go. That's better. We all experience challenges in our life from time to time. They're connected to different things. Some are relationships. Some perhaps might be finances. Could be family. Here's a big one, health. You ever get a bad health report? A friend of mine's name came up today. We grew up together. I can't imagine what went through his mind when he was told he's got Parkinson's. I can't imagine. Or you got diabetes. You're going to need to take shots the rest of your life. You got cancer. I remember where we were that day in Lancaster when my wife received a call from her doctor that she had cancer and there'd have to be radical surgery. We're talking about dark times in our life. Maybe it has to do with your career, your employment. It's difficult many times to understand why these trials come into our lives. It's times like that that we feel overwhelmed, confused, hopeless, and yes, sometimes even helpless. And in the midst of it all, it isn't possible to comprehend all that God has planned to accomplish through our time of difficulties. But the scripture assures us that he has our best interests in mind. And he will work through even the darkest of those times for our good. We need to understand the difference between walking in darkness and walking through darkness. As believers, we don't live in the darkness of sin. According to Colossians 1:13, for the Lord has redeemed us and has reconciled us and has forgiven us so that we don't longer have to walk in darkness. And so there's times that he wants us to understand and know that he loves us so much. We have the story of Joseph here that we started to read. It's found in Genesis chapters 37, 38, and 39. We're going to see six things whereby we can navigate during our times of darkness to help us to navigate. Sometimes it's very difficult to navigate when you're going through very hardships. The first thing you need to know and understand, and it's foundational to all the others, is that God is with us during these dark times. He's there. He didn't leave. He's with us. Remember the footprints in the sand when you decided you'd only seen one set of footprints? You thought the Lord had left? No. Those were the Lord's footprints. He was carrying you. And that's what he does. He carries you through these dark times because he knows you can't handle it yourself. And so he carries you. He's there. He loves you. During this time of hardship, it was jealousy that caused Joseph's brothers to plot to try to kill him. They were plotting to do that. Can you imagine brothers that jealous that they wanted to kill their brother? So they found a pit that didn't have any water in it. It was probably, well, it was hand dug. They didn't have any equipment to do anything. It was a hand dug pit. Located obviously along a travel route, and it was empty, so they threw him in. And obviously, according to the story, I'm just going to go through the story quickly, that they obviously went back to their sheep, and which were nearby, and they were taking care of the sheep, and they were trying to contemplate what they were going to do with Joseph. They came up with the idea they'd just sell him to the Ishmaelites. And by the time they came back to the pit, he was already gone. The Midianites happened to come by, and I don't know if they heard him hollering or what happened. We're not given all the information. But it says the Midianites found him in the pit, and they pulled him out, and they took him to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh's court in Egypt. And of course, long story short, they became very good friends. Potiphar loved him like his own son. Joseph was a young man, 17 years old. Of course, they made up a story. They killed a goat and smeared blood all over the coat of many colors and took it back to their father and said, Joseph, we couldn't find. He must have been, an animal must have torn him apart. Can you imagine a parent getting that kind of message? It says that he just rent his clothes and wouldn't eat anything. Can you imagine how distraught he must have been, having been told that his boy is no longer? And they made up the story, Reuben and Judah. But God was there through it all. Even in the midst of it, the Lord moved upon Reuben's heart to not kill him. They were going to, but the Lord moved upon Reuben's heart not to kill him. Reuben said, we can't shed this innocent blood. So God moved upon their hearts to spare them. And we see God moving in the midst of even all of that. We see how the Lord began to work in their lives. 21 and 26, it says, Reuben heard it and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. There's where we see that the Lord moved upon his heart. And then they, of course, verse 27 said they went, maybe we can go to the Ishmaelites to sell him. But by that time, the Midianites had already gotten him and tried to make up a story. Then that some wild animal got him. Second thing we're going to look at, that God has a purpose for allowing difficult times. If you're a follower, which I know many of you are today, God has a reason for permitting hardships to come into your life. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. And it wasn't until he was age 30 that he became the prime minister of Egypt. So there's 13 years that Joseph walked in the midst of adversity. We see 13 years of his life in a pit, in a prison. These were dark places, literally dark places. Sometimes when we're wronged, our focus strays from our Lord to the actual situation of the people who have been involved, who have mistreated us. And so we lose our focus. God had a purpose for every step that Joseph was in. It was in God's plan. A music writer wrote, penned the words, 20/20 vision, but only looking back. That's what Joseph had here, and that's what many of us have today. 20/20 vision, but only looking back. In Genesis chapter 50, and I marked it so I could read it, at the very end of the book of Genesis, in verse 20, we hear Joseph saying this, but as for you, he was looking at his brothers, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Not only was the life of his own family, Joseph's family, spared, they were able to come to Egypt because of the great famine. They were spared, and all of Egypt was spared. The entire civilization of Egypt was spared because of this one man, Joseph. God had a purpose for him. It was the Lord's sovereign direction. It brings Romans chapter 8 to 28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. Thirdly, the darkness will last only as long as necessary for the Lord to accomplish his purposes. It will only last as long as it takes for our Lord to accomplish his purposes. But sometimes we get very impatient and stressful, and we want this time to end. But I can tell you, and I like the song we sang today, is seeing him. If we could look through the darkness and see our future, we would thank the Lord because we would understand his purpose for our trial. So how did the Lord use Joseph's 13 dark years? Well, let's look at some things. Joseph had so many experiences at Potiphar's house. As you know, his Potiphar's wife tried to get him in trouble and lied about him, and that's how he ended up in prison. And Joseph had nothing to do with it, but she was angry that Joseph didn't give in to her temptation, so she had him put in prison. So Joseph learned the Egyptian language while he was there. He was able to learn the Egyptian language. He was able to understand the customs of Egypt. He was able to develop administration and organizational skills, for which would come in very handy. He learned how to live under authority. He understood how to manage other people. God was preparing him for an awesome place of service. Joseph would become second in command of all Egypt. Second in command. That's the purpose God had for him. We were talking earlier about some of the things that caused his brothers to be angry. The Lord used all that to make good come out of it. He ended up getting Joseph out of his homestead and in Egypt, where God had to use him. God needed him there. He had to have him there. And so it was all in God's wonderful plan to get Joseph. It was in God's timetable. You know, God didn't tell Joseph everything, and he doesn't tell us everything either. And so we want to rush through these dark times. But it's during these experiences that help to build our best character. So don't fight against God. Surrender your will to him and say, Lord, I don't understand this, nor do I like it. But I yield myself to whatever your purpose is. Keep me here until you accomplish it. That should be your prayer during your dark times. Fourthly, we discover oftentimes more in the dark times than we do in the light. No matter where Joseph was, whether he was at the bottom of a pit or in Potiphar's house or in prison, he was always walking toward the light. He always kept his good behavior. He always kept loyal to the Lord. He always made sure he was walking toward the light. The entire time that God was moving him in his purposes, Joseph became prime minister. And so the Lord would have him, his account recorded in the scriptures for us, for even today, in this day and hour, to experience what he went through and to be blessed by it and encouraged by the story of his life. So the Lord allowed this to be recorded of his life. to bless the countless of people throughout history. Of course, we prefer to avoid learning the hard way. And lessons don't become ours until they're tested and tried. It's those times that we can see that God is dependable. We can depend on him during those dark times. And it's more effective than just simply hearing about his trustworthiness. And fifthly, in dark times, we need to learn to walk toward the light. Do not be wise in your own eyes, Proverbs 3:7. He has a perfect plan for you, and you need to learn to trust to follow him and be obedient so that he can carry out his plan. We must obey even when life makes the right choice difficult. The Father is building character in us, and so we need to be faithful and we need to be obedient so that we can grow in wisdom and maturity and serve him. If you can't see the light, maybe you're looking in the wrong direction. Don't focus on the darkness. Keep your gaze and focus on the Lord. Sometimes he doesn't illuminate the whole path, but usually there's enough light, enough, that we can take it one step at a time. I think of your song, Barbie, one day at a time. One day at a time. One step at a time. Lastly, what we learn in the darkness, we are to share in the light. What you learn in the darkness, you're to share in the light. Joseph was raised in a family that believed in Jehovah. He ended up in a culture that worshiped multiple gods. When he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, Joseph did not in any way disguise his faith in the one true God. Joseph was not ashamed of his God. In all ways, Joseph showed that he had one God. And many was watching his life, including the Pharaoh of Egypt. Most powerful man in Egypt was watching Joseph's life. Wonders me sometimes how much impact he must have had on Pharaoh. He must have had a lot of impact on him for Pharaoh to make him second in command. What an impact he must have had on Pharaoh. How Pharaoh must have loved him to put him in that place. You see, God's building principles in your life, and he wants you to share these truths with others. Haven't you ever wondered why God allowed you to go through these things in your life? And now God has you involved in doing things that are touching and blessing many other lives. Many other lives. Don't drop the ball. Continue what God has put you in to do. Don't drop the ball. There's not a better time for you to continue what you've decided to do in life. Don't drop the ball. Now you can bless so many other people are being blessed by what God has led you to do. He's brought you this far. There's people all around you that are walking in darkness, anxiety and frustration. Make yourself available. Let the life's lessons that you learned in the darkness, make them available to them in their time of need. You'll be surprised how many people are needing your help and guidance. How many people are just wanting to know that they're not alone. You can say, I know what it is. I've lost a child. I've been through that. I know what you're going through. And I can tell you, keep your focus on him. Don't keep your focus on the darkness. Keep your focus on him. Keep your eyes on him. There is no life free from dark times. So it's important that we try to put these principles into practice and recall them many times when we find adversity coming to us or perhaps others, friends that are going through it, people going through hard times desperately need to hear that God is with them. And he has a purpose for their struggle. And it will not go on forever. But his blessings and promises are not a universal guarantee. It's promised only to those who have received Jesus Christ as Savior. And anyone who rejects the Son of God has no right to that claim. So if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ today, it's the wisest thing you can do is to trust him as your Savior. Acknowledge him as God, that you have sinned and believe that Jesus died on the cross in your place and paid your sins debt in full. Then all of the rights and privileges and blessings and promises that belong to God's children can be yours as well. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message today. And I pray that anyone that hears this lesson today will know and understand that God is with you. No matter what hardest time or dark time has come to your life, just remember this. God is with you. He loves you. Cry out to him today. Reach out to him and ask him to help you. Just simply say, Lord, I need your help. I don't understand what this is happening in my life, but I need your help. Please help me. And I know that he will. He's there. He's just waiting for you to ask. It's time now for us, Lord, to go to our homes. Be with each and every one as they leave this place of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.